Good morning. I'd like to bid a hearty welcome to each one that has come out this morning. It is my prayer that we might have come with a heart prepared to receive what the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. I also want to greet you with the words which we find in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Where we read, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." It is truly a joy to be here, to be able to for this opportunity to share with you out of God's Word. I've titled this morning's message, "Am I a Child of God?" A question that I have to ask myself, a question that you will have to ask yourselves. The lifestyle that we're living, does it indicate that we are God's children? And for text words, I have chosen out of John chapter 1 and verse 12, where it says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So we have a wonderful promise from God that he will be with us. Have we taken that step, given ourselves over to him, and are we allowing him to lead us at this stage in our life? Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Father, we thank you that you are a God of love, that you are a God of peace, and that you are a God of grace, where you continue to shed your grace upon us as we in the human race, we fail so many times, and you knew that, and you know that. And when we realize that we have fallen short, you forgive us and continue to protect us. Father, this morning, as we look into your word and the question that is set before us, am I a child of God, that you would reveal to us whether we are or not. And if we are, Father, that we would continue to walk in your ways. But if there should be things in our life that aren't pleasing to you, that you would also open those up to us, that we would be able to come back into your fold and walk according to your will. Be your hands and your feet. Be the light of the world, that the world can see that we serve an all-knowing God who knows us and who takes care of us, that there's something else within us that the world does not have. Father, we also know there are many out there that are hurting. Pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon them, that it would give them courage through whatever it is that they're facing, that they too would not give up, but that they would sense your nearness and just be able to thank you for what they still have. And we know that that isn't always easy when we have pain in our lives. Father, we pray for those in the hospitals, care homes. Be with them in a special way. And Father, we also pray for those that take care of them, that you would give them insight and that they would have love for those people and truly be able to help them with whatever they're going through. This morning, Lord, we also lift up our government to you. Be with them in a special way, and we thank you for the freedom that we still have, that we can gather in a way like this and look into your word and just be encouraged to go on living for you. Father, this morning I pray for each one that has a part in the service that you would strengthen them, and also pray for myself that as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak each word boldly. We pray this all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. We'll have a few songs at this time.
Let's take your red hymnal and turn to 309. Take the name of Jesus with you. 309.
From your red book, number 361, take time to be holy.
Friends of God's church.
Thank you for those songs. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Is that always easy? For me, it isn't. And then it also talks about not running before him. As human nature, I would like answers. I would like him sometimes more, get him quicker. And yet, God says that he will give us what it takes to get through life. But there are many times where he doesn't give it to us before we need it, before the time is right. So am I a child of God? And I will reread that verse, the text words in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So here this promise tells us that when we surrender ourselves to him, when we live for him, he also will keep his part. He will give us what he has promised us. As many as received him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. On our own, we can't do it. We will fail, we will fall, but in him and in him alone, it is possible. If we turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So many times I have to ask myself, why do I fear to go out when God is calling me to go? And we see that so many times when elections come up in church where help is needed. People's names come forward and they pull back. I can't do this. Or there are others that can do it. And yet God is calling us. And we want to shrug it off. We want to come up with so many excuses. Why? And sometimes I think I have valid excuses. And yet, when God calls, he will also provide what it takes to get through whatever it is that he is calling us to do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 7, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Trying to do it on our own, it says it is death, we will fail. But to surrender to God, giving it over to him, it is then that we will be able to go forward in peace, as it tells us here in verse 6. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then in verse 7 it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God has created us. He knows us. He sustains us every moment of our life. He wants the best for us. Are we willing to be handled by the one that knows us and who wants the best for us and who will give it to us? Or do we rather walk in our own strength? Sunday morning, we come to church and we fill our spot in the pew, making it look good, and yet within it isn't what it truly is. The picture is good, but within, where God can see, we're deceiving ourselves. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. On our own, it is impossible. In verse 8, it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. When we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we do our utmost to follow him, he's telling us that we're not on our own. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Wonderful promises that God has for us. Are we willing to accept those? Are we willing to allow him to lead and to guide us? When he calls us, are we willing to go? Or are we looking for excuses? And sometimes I can come up with very valid excuses in my own mind, and yet that's not God's way. It's not God's will. I want to turn to Psalm 31. Psalm chapter 31. Verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. David, this is a psalm of David. I understand it is his psalm. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. God chose him to be the king because he tried to live a life pleasing to God. He was a man who was willing to be led by God. And that is who God needed to lead the children of Israel. And here he says, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Are we willing? Have we done that? And he acknowledges, thou hast redeemed me. And it wasn't because of what he had done, but because of what Christ was doing in his life. Because he, first of all, took that step of obedience and gave himself over to the Spirit, to God's Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and allowed that Spirit to lead him. And he acknowledges that it is through him and him alone that it is possible, and he has entrusted his life to that Spirit. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, it says, thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Again, the writer acknowledges that if he is able to give himself over to God, to the Spirit, to God's Spirit, He acknowledges that thou wilt show me the path of life. And that is a promise of God, that he will do that. And then in that, while we're in that, we can also go forward. As it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Are we enjoying life serving Christ, or is it a burden? Do we find it hard to wake up Sunday morning? Should we be Sunday school teachers or whatever part we have in church? Do we find it hard to get up and get ourselves motivated to get out there and do our part? Or even to come, even if we don't have a, we might not be a Sunday school teacher, we might not be the custodian, we might not be the song leader or the pianist, but just to come and be filled with the Spirit of God, with what he has to offer us, and then go out the other 6 days of the week and being the light in this world that Jesus was when he walked in this world. In Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. If we go back a little bit in this chapter, it talks about Jesus where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying. His sweat was as blood drops. His blood was as sweat drops, and I might have gotten that backwards, but he was in agony. He found it hard to go through with what he had come to do. And yet he said, Father, not my will, but thine. And then when he was on the cross, they nailed him to the wooden cross. And Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus was without sin. He went through, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. And on the final end, he says, Father, he endured. Have we made up our minds to endure to the end? It doesn't matter what we face, what we'll go through. Are we willing to go through allowing him to lead and to guide us? Because God doesn't want the death of a sinner. He created us to serve him, to glorify his name. And as we read through the scriptures, we see time and again of how God placed things before people in order to wake them up. In the Old Testament, so many times where the children of Israel, his own children, they fell away. They worshiped idols. He allowed them to be taken captive. And it took, so one time it took him 400 years to wake up. What will it take to wake us up when we fall asleep? Is our seal to serve Christ? And when we look at life, what has God done in your life that was so clear? There was no denying that it came from him and him alone. God is good. And as I said, he doesn't want the death of a sinner. And so many times he places things before us when we're on a wrong path to get us to wake up, to see. Before Jesus was born, he prepared a man to prepare the people for his coming. And we still have God's word with us. In the Old Testament, they waited upon the priests and the prophets to tell them what God required of them. We have the word before us. We have that roadmap. How much time do we spend in it? How well do we know his roadmap? When we meet things in life, when difficulties come before us, when decisions need to be made, do we have the Word of God hid within us? Are we allowing him to lead and guide us? Because if we are, it is even through those difficult times that he will give us the right path. We will be able to choose wisely. We need to prepare our heart. I need to do that, and each and every one of you needs to do that on your own. We can go talk to each other. We can encourage one another. And yet, the final choice is mine, whether I want to listen or not. The choice is yours. Is there peace in your life? Is there joy in your life? Or is it hard times? Are we? And it doesn't mean that we won't go through hard times. But yet when we face hard times, we can still see through that and know that it won't last forever. Because we know that we're not in this world forever. That the time will come. God has shortened life already, that he will still find faith. Are we still in him? We want to take this opportunity to go before him, and it is my prayer that we open up ourselves to him and allow him to lead and guide us. And I have also a few other prayer requests here that have been forwarded to me, and I want to share those with you. And let's also remember these people as they go through hard times. Asking for prayer support for Henry and Ann Kettler and Ann's family. They do not attend this church, but have family that does. Ann's dad, Jacob Dick, was in a single vehicle collision Monday evening and was sent to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Please pray for the whole family as they go through this hard chapter in their lives right now, and for the decisions that will have to be made. Thank you in advance for all your prayers. It is much appreciated. Thanks again, and God bless you. And I have another one here. It says, please pray for Heinrich Peters, Lisa Peters' dad. He is in so much pain with his back that he needs to use a walker to walk with. And I'm sorry, you said he was going to get spinal fusion. So let's remember these, and let's also pour out a heart to God. Should there be things in our lives that aren't right, that he would show us and that we would heed to this calling. So for those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
From the Blue Book, number 27, Heavenly Sunlight. Number 27, could we stand?
Over the mountains, through the
If we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. I want to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. First of all, verses 1 to 5. In these verses, they speak of the nature of God. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here it talks about God and who he is. And as we sang this last song, it also said in there that in him there is no darkness, and there is no darkness in Christ. And as it says here, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then my question goes back, am I a child of God? Is there darkness within me? Is there darkness within your life? Because if there's darkness, it tells us it is not of God. And we can read of that so many times in his word, that darkness does not come from him. He is the light of the world. He created mankind in his own image. And we have that image within us. Each and every human being has that image within themselves. What are we doing with it? Are we allowing God to use it for his glory? Or are we walking after the ways of this world, seeking for joy rather than having it, having God showering us with joy? In verse 6 to 8, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And again, a few verses of the promises of God and how he will reveal to mankind, as he did back then when he was to come and to go to preach his own word and to go to the cross to pay for our sins. He prepared a man to go tell the people, prepare yourselves, for Jesus is coming. And he has come. He gave his life and he's gone back to heaven. And he will come again. And when we look back in this year, we're in the seventh month. How many has he taken out of our midst already this year alone? There are many loved ones that he has taken. And it is my wish and prayer that they were all ready to meet him. But their decision making is over. We're still here. God still blesses us with breath every morning. And he's here with us this moment. Are we ready to meet him? Are we prepared? Because we don't know if we'll walk out of this sanctuary this morning. He has given us a roadmap, just like he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for him, that the people would be ready. And yet it seems as though the light and the love that he has for mankind, people don't want. They would rather walk in darkness, and he needs us so desperately. Can he do it on his own? Yes, he can. But he has created us to do that work for him, to be his hands and his feet, to show the world that there's more than what this world has to offer, that we can find where we can get our joy from and peace. In verse 9 and 9 and 11, it says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And he's speaking about Jesus Christ. John was to be the light to prepare the people for that light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then in verse 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So again, this is something where we have to make a choice. We need to make a decision whether we want him in our life or not. Our natural birth, we didn't have a choice in. But this birth, we have a choice in. And we need to choose him. If we want to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven, who has gone there to prepare a place for us, if we want to occupy that home, we will have to have had made that choice here in this world. And we will have to stick to that. We will have to stay true to him. It isn't just a one-time commitment and then we have a free ticket to heaven. He tells us life won't be easy. A matter of fact, he tells us exactly the contrary. He says it'll be hard. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he says, "You'll be like sheep among wolves, where you will have to strive for righteousness. You will have to be sincere in order to succeed." And that still stands for us today. Christianity isn't for lukewarm people. We need to be hot for him. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, of his responsibilities. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So first of all, Paul reminds Timothy here of the gifts. And we know that we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And those different gifts and different talents, they come from God, and it is he who strengthens them in us. On our own, we can't do it. Sometimes we think we don't have that gift, and yet when we surrender to Christ, he gives us the power to do that. Even if I think I can't, and yet if God calls me, he will give me the ability to do it. Verse 9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Verse 8, he talks about, be not thou therefore ashamed. Don't be ashamed to go out into the world and stand up for what is right. And we know there's so much darkness around us, and yet let's not allow that to get us down, but let's be and rather be encouraged to go out and stand up for what is right. Not be ashamed of what the world will think of us. If Jesus would have been ashamed, he wouldn't have come into this world. Because if anyone was humiliated, he was. And yet he did that for me and you because of his love for us. Because he doesn't want the death of a sinner. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, again, Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Against all the evil of this world, Paul says, I have put my trust in Christ. And we know what Paul did before he was converted. He persecuted the church. He persecuted believers. He was there when Stephen was stoned. The people that stoned Stephen laid their clothes at Paul's feet. He witnessed that. And he went out. He wanted to persecute more. He wanted to kill more Christians, imprison them. But when God got a hold of his life, he turned around and he fought for what was right. It didn't matter to him what people thought. He didn't give up when Jesus' own disciples didn't want anything to do with him. But much more, he went out. He allowed the Holy Spirit to teach him. What are we waiting for? God knows us. And he wants the best for us. Have we committed? Have we submitted our lives to him? And are we committed to go forward as Paul was? Are we persuaded that there's nothing in this world that will keep us back? Because that is a true commitment. Then if we go to verse 13 in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, hold fast the form of sound words. Don't let go. Because the truth will prevail. Before we read that God had been from the beginning, he has always been, he will always be. And that is what will be. And in verse 13 here, it says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, I want to say that we have the roadmap. There will be no excuse. We don't have to wait for the priest to come and tell us. We can go to God. We have his word. If there are things that we don't understand, he will give us understanding. We need to be sincere. If we're not even using what we know that we should be doing, why would he give us more? If we just walk on it as if it is nothing, going about our own ways, why would he give us more understanding? But if we use the gifts that he has given us, the talents that he has given us, if we use them to full capacity, just like Paul, even though he fought against the church of Jesus Christ, but when he realized that, he turned around. And he did whatever it took to proclaim the word of God. And we know that his life wasn't easy after that because he was imprisoned for a good part of his life, where he was able to write scripture, where he had time. What will it take to get our attention to have time to serve him? Rather than going out there 6 days a week and working hard from early in the morning to late at night, for what? For another big boat? Maybe a bigger camper? Or what? What are we living for? We know life is short. And when God takes our last breath away, whatever we've worked for isn't ours. It was never ours, even though we sometimes claim it to be ours. And when God calls us to share with the less fortunate, we hold on to it. We don't want to share because I've worked for it. When we go out to proclaim God's word, do we understand what God's word truly says? Do we study? Are we prepared? Or when someone comes to us and asks us questions, do we have to go off of other people's knowledge? This is what has been said. Or can we truly identify with the word of God? Can we give them an answer? An answer that'll stand. Not what somebody else has said, but the answer that stands sure. And if I have said something that isn't right, I pray that you will come and tell me. Because if I have a false teaching, I'm going to be held accountable for that. If you have a false teaching, you will be held accountable for that. We need to encourage, we need to admonish. And many times it takes admonishment to get us through. But then we also need a willingness, like Paul, to give it up and to follow his ways, God's ways. Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And in my Bible, these words are written in red, and so these are the words of God. And this is what will stand. It says, these things saith Amen. The word of God, we know that man was inspired of God to write the Bible, to give us the roadmap, but yet it came from him. It is truth. In verse 15, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Heaven is not for the lukewarm. A matter of fact, he would rather have us cold than lukewarm. Believing, justifying myself that I'm okay. Even if maybe I don't do everything it says in the Bible, or I know God tells me to keep the commandments, and yet I don't. It talks about lukewarmness. Not taking his word for what it is. In verse 17, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The resources that God has blessed us with in this world, and we know there are people that have way, some have way more than others, and yet it is of God. And it isn't evil to have riches, but to have those riches and claim them for my own is what makes it evil, because it is of God and He wants us to use it wisely. He wants us to give it back to Him, not hang on to it, to see what all else I can do with it here in this world. I've had to come to the part in my life where sometimes I've wondered, people who had lots of money and they built these big, big, fancy homes and thinking that they might have been able to use it wiser. And one day the thought came to my mind, my own house that I have, how much of that could I have spent different? Maybe the person that has this big house is giving more away than I am. How do I know? How can I judge a person like that, right? God gave Solomon more riches than anyone else in this world. It came from God. And as long as he used it to honor God, God blessed him. It's when selfishness kicks in. In verse 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Can we see through our life, the lifestyle that we're living, that it is according to the will of God? Will we fail? Yes, we will. I'm not saying that. Because we're born of a sin nature, it's something that we have to fight. But when we fall short, do we then make it right? Do we go back to God's word and make things right, whatever it is? And sometimes to make things right isn't fun either, but after it has been made right, the peace and the joy that a person can have is so much greater than the hardness of making it right. That for myself, I have to ask myself, why? Why do you sometimes wait so long before you make it right? Before I make it right. And then in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And I want to close with this verse where Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. May we all go forward doing our utmost to be his hands and his feet, being his children. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come to you one more time this morning. Father, we thank you for the roadmap that you have left us. We thank you that you are a God who doesn't want anyone to die in their sins. And that is why you chasten us. That is why you allow things to come before us when we're not on the straight and narrow. And sometimes you allow things to come before us even when we believe, when we know that we are right with you. And it is to show the world that in you there can be peace, even though there's turmoil in our lives, things beyond our control. And yet, we can go forward in peace. And it is in those times where we go through hard times that we look at ourselves, where we can examine and we can know, where we can come before you, where we can just again surrender self and allow you to look into our rooms and to show us where things, if they are wrong, where they can be made right. Father, we thank you for not giving up on mankind, that your Son was willing to come into this world to give his life so that we could all have life for all eternity with you in heaven. We thank you and we praise you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen. We want to one more time take the opportunity to go on bended knee. And for whatever lies on your hearts, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 109. I'm praying for you.
Now we Good morning. I don't have much for announcements this morning, but first off, I want to thank Brother Henry for a powerful and touching message this morning. He even had me stirring and twitching in my seat. Thank you. And just a reminder, any proposed resolutions that are to be brought to the Brotherhood meeting, that they're due by July 21st. Just a reminder there. And going to the back of the bulletin, looking at the prayer list. There's a lot of people that are struggling, a lot of people that are hurting, and let's pray for them all. And just an update on Catherine Friesen. She is still in the hospital, and she's doing better, but she would also love your prayers, and she would also appreciate visits. So just keep her in your prayers, and if it's possible to go visit her, go pay her a visit. And yeah, that's all I have. Let's just keep each other in prayer and lift each other up and let God do the work. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. Yeah, and the importance of prayer, that we hold each other up. We know that we're not always all strong, and sometimes when we have lows, we definitely need that. As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but I want to thank you for coming. And may his joy and his peace be upon you in a mighty way as we go out, as we go forward, doing his work. I want to bless you with the benediction, which we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 14. And first of all, in verse 11 here, Paul, by the way he's written it, he knows that his time is coming to an end. The way he's written it, and we don't know when our end will be, but may we all be ready when that time comes. So in verse 11, it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching."